This is an interview with Mrs. Lily Gutierrez on April 7, 2003 in El Paso, Texas. The interviewer is Fernanda Carrillo. This interview is part of the Bracero Oral History Project. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
What is your full name, ma'am, please?
My name is Lily Gutierrez.
And when and where were you born, ma'am?
I was born in El Paso.
Paso. And the date, ma'am, please?
10-5-35.
And did you grow up here?
Yes,
Paso?
I went to school here. I went to Skerity School, Sleda High School, and I went to Texas Western for a couple of years, and went on to the University of Houston, and then I went back to UTEP.
To finish your, get your bachelor's degree? Great. And is your family from El Paso, ma'am?
Yes. In fact, my great-grandfather was one of the first, I would venture to say, farm workers, because he owned the land here in what was then Mexico. El Paso was Mexico at that time.
Okay.
He had a land grant from Mexico.
So you've been in the area for a long,
yes,
long
for
time.
A long time.
And do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have... 4 brothers and 2 sisters.
And none of them work for the Bracero Project,
no.
Right, in any way. And what about your parents? What were they?
My father was a butcher by profession and a businessman. He owned grocery stores.
Okay. And what about your mother?
My mother was a homemaker.
And when did you start working with the Bracero program?
When I married my husband, I met him at Texas Western.
Yes, ma'am.
And he was from Pecos, and he chose to go back to Pecos for a little while, and of course I had to go with him. And by the time I got to Pecos, he had very nicely acquired me a job.
Oh.
At the Trans-Pecos Cotton Association.
Uh-huh.
Which was... I presume had government entity, a connection with the government, because we had government guidelines to follow and that had to be adhered to.
So this association was in
it
any
was
connection?
Like, it was like Rio Vista. It was basically the same thing.
Oh, okay.
And we had a inspector from the Department of Labor come and check the housing and to make sure.
Oh, so you actually had the housing too for the
Oh yes,
braceros.
All the farmers were required to provide housing.
Okay.
for the braceros, and they had to be, you know, there were requirements. I mean, they had to have a roof and 4 doors. Believe it or not, some people don't always provide that kind of housing. They had to have a floor, doors and windows, and I'm sure other things I can't remember, you know, but so we had the inspector from the Department of Labor come often.
Okay.
And we also had a council, one of the councils from the Mexican council out of El Paso.
Was he present at all times, ma'am?
No, he came periodically.
Okay.
To visit, and any bracero who had a complaint, a request, or a desire to speak to him for whatever private reasons they might have,
yes,
were told that of his coming, and they would, you know, line up at the Trans-Pecos Cotton Association, and he would visit with them.
How old were you, ma'am, when you started working for the Trans-Pecos Cotton Association?
Let me think. I was 21.
And what?
20 or 21.
What years did you work at Pecos?
My recollection's been a long time, but I think I worked since I got there in 1955 to 1957 or 58, I'm not sure.
And would you please describe your role there at the Trans-Pecos?
My job was to, along with my co-worker, Lois Vasquez, who was my supervisor.
Yes.
I was to help in the processing of every farm worker that came into Pecos. The Trans-Pecos Cotton Association covered 2 counties, mm-hmm. Reeves and Pecos County.
Okay.
So we, I was speaking to my colleague the other day, and she and I ventured that there were at least 25,000 braceros came through.
Through the Pecos?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's a guess, but I think it's a pretty fair guess, because there were hundreds and hundreds. The farmers came from Pecos County and Reeves County, like Kainosa and Pecos, and all those other small towns.
So it covered a pretty large area.
Yes.
Yeah. And do you know when did the Trans Pecos Cattle Association started?
No. It was there before I ever got there. But I do know someone that you can speak to.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. Thank you. And what was the purpose of this, of the Trans Pecos Cattle Association? I don't understand.
Okay.
You said it was something like the Rio Vista Center?
Yes, the whole idea was that the government allowed so many farm workers to come into an area to help the farmers do the harvesting of in Pecos. And Reeves County, it was cotton.
Cotton.
Okay.
Okay.
And it was a contract that they had. They contracted with farm workers, and each farm worker would say, "I'll take 200 workers. I'll provide housing, and so many other benefits."
Yes.
And then at the end of their term of working, at the end of their of the contract that the bracero had, he would have an immigrant visa.
Oh, okay.
To come and work, a working visa.
Okay? Oh.
A specific working visa. I don't know, I think they were called H1s or H2s at that time still.
Or H2s.
Yeah.
So after, let's say a bracero came and they worked at a farm for a certain period of time.
Okay, right. From September to November.
From September to November.
Right. Okay. And then they were, of course, had to go back.
Okay, to Mexico.
To Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
It was only,
seasonal.
Visa. And the farmers were responsible for the workers. They were placed in their care, you know. And as I said, they had to provide food, and not food, but the braceros cooked their own food.
Oh, okay.
And they went and bought their own food, from my recollection.
Oh, so they were able to leave actually the facilities of the ranches and go.
Pecos was a small town, or is a small town. It's even smaller now, but back then it was a town of like 15,000 people. And it's a agricultural based town, and the braceros would on the weekend they would flood downtown.
Oh, okay.
Because you know they had a weekend off, and so everywhere you went, the grocery stores, the post office, they were there buying at JCPenney's or Woolworth or whatever.
Oh,
they were
sorry.
There. So they,
and you actually saw them in your daily life during the weekends.
And my co-worker, Lois, and I were the only Spanish-speaking staff there.
Okay.
And so we were the lucky ones. We got to talk to them.
So, but were you required to speak Spanish to work there? Or
no.
It wasn't?
No. No. I mean, I don't remember anybody said asking me, do you speak Spanish?
Oh,
no.
Okay.
No. So. I think, they liked the idea if you could get people that, you know, could speak Spanish. So Lois and I were the ones that had all these great conversations with the workers who came in, and we did the actual processing, and they would tell us where they were from, and, we had some very interesting conversations.
Okay. So let me see if I understand. The workers they come from Mexico.
From
all over Mexico, and I assume from the recruiting center in Chihuahua, let's just say.
Right.
And how did they got to Pecos?
Buses. Yes, they came through El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they came through El Paso. They might have come through Rio Grande, through, what's the one?
The Rio Vista?
No, back here, another small town. Where they could cross as well. But my recollection is that they came from El Paso in buses.
Okay.
And we had a fellow, I remember his name, Oscar Hawkins, who's not Oscar, Orson Hawkins. Who spoke Spanish fluently. I mean, and he was the one that would bring them.
Okay, he was in charge of
bringing them. Yeah, he would bring them, and then when their time was up, he would take them back.
They
back to the border.
To the border, and Mr. Hawkins picked them up at the border, and then take.
Now I don't really know exactly
how
that happened. Okay, I do know that they had to come across.
Okay.
The border and show their immigrant visa.
Okay.
Okay, so I presume that he picked them up at the border, or he might have picked them at the. I don't think the detention center was. No, I don't think so. No, they must have been. Maybe it was Rio Vista.
Okay.
You know, maybe pick them up from Rio Vista.
So they were, the braceros had to went through the process in Rio Vista first in order to go to Pecos.
I couldn't say for sure.
Okay.
But I can tell you who would know.
Okay.
Okay.
And I have another question. So at the time that they arrive at the Pecos, at the Trans-Pecos Cattle Association,
uh-huh.
they already have forms. Like
yes.
ID forms or
right.
visas or papers
they
that they have to show you?
They had their permit, and it was our job to do what we call it, a number card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every immigrant has an A number.
Okay.
That's either on their immigrant visa, on
yes.
their file at INS. So we would do a card on them, and
okay.
then the assignment of the to the farmer.
To the farmer.
You know, like Mr. Holscher needed 200 workers.
Okay.
So it was our job to assign them to.
Okay, so they got there in groups, and then you separated them.
Right. And
we
gave them a meal.
Oh, you gave them a meal.
And then we did the process.
And then you did the processing. Mm-hmm. And after that, they left.
Well, the farm worker came to pick them up.
To pick them up. And
I think he came to pick them up. Either he came to pick them up. I remember people coming in trucks. And, you know, they would climb at the back. And
okay.
You have to remember my recollection.
And
it's
what
been
about
a few years.
What about if Bracero came, they you did like a contract or something, but the contractor wasn't there to pick them up that very same day. Do you have
I think they had a really good system where the farmer knew when a group was coming for him to pick up. You know, because they were all very anxious. There's only a certain amount of harvesting time, you know, for cotton and so forth. So.
And was this processing done inside a building?
Yes.
Okay.
It was inside that building. We had a building. It was a fairly large building.
Would you describe the facilities?
Oh.
Okay. Please.
I don't remember too well.
No.
I just remembered a big building.
Mm-hmm.
A very nice, actually, a nice building, you know. I don't mean a fancy building. Let's say it was more utilitarian than it was...
Yeah.
attractive. So that's all I can remember, to be frank with you.
Was it located downtown Pecos?
No, it was more or less off one of the highways where the farming areas were, you know. It was not in the middle, and it wasn't downtown at all.
Okay. And you said they have, well, your offices where you do the clerk
uh-huh,
work,
right.
clerical work, and you also have... Like the kitchen or something, I assume?
Oh, yes, we had a kitchen.
Oh,
yes.
You had a kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
And what other offices operated right there?
Well, we had a director. His name, I remember, was Bob Sherrill. I think he's since passed away.
Bob?
Sherrill, Cherrill.
Okay.
He's a very nice man. And and then we had other staff people.
Okay.
You know, there were at least three or four other women.
Okay. Doing the same kind of job, do you?
Yes, or doing maybe some of the more other than processing.
Okay.
Because I told you, Lois and I basically did the processing because we were the ones that spoke Spanish.
Oh, okay. And so you talk with the braceros
yeah.
and fill out a form
yeah,
or something?
Right.
The contract, you will say?
It was, no, it was a, what we called an A card.
A card.
An A number.
Okay. And what was the information in this card? What did you... have to ask, or
well, you know, it was their names and date of birth and
mm-hmm.
place of birth, and I can't remember what else.
Okay.
I'm sure there was.
Did you ask them to, you know, to give you any proof of like identification?
Oh,
like
well, they all had their permit already. That had already been. I mean, they were there because they had gone. Through INS already.
Okay, so they already have all the...
Our job was not to do the, the reviewing of immigration documents other than only to put them into our database that we had.
Okay.
We didn't have computers back then.
No, just step writings. And did this the Trans-Pecos-Conan Association work year round? Was it open all year?
Yeah, I know that we worked. I worked there for 2 years, so I must have.
And it wasn't a seasonal job. You worked there?
No, I worked there all the time.
Was it a part-time job or a full-time job?
No, it was a full-time job.
It was a full-time
yeah.
job.
Uh-huh.
And but you mentioned that September and November were
That was the season, you know, and
okay.
and when the cotton is harvested. But then there's other things to do besides
okay.
harvest.
The other months of the
yeah.
year. And how many applicants will you say were there on a given day? Like how many you? You said you fill out the forms for all of them, right? You and your colleague mm-hmm. Louis. So, how many will you say you have? Like,
well, I don't know. They would bring them in busloads.
Okay.
You know, so I would be. You know, I haven't thought about all these things, so I haven't given it much thought as to the numbers. I would say that we'd have, you know, like 2 or 3 busloads a day.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm sure there were other crops that they might have picked, like there were onions and, you know, Gainoso is a farming area that harvests a lot of onions.
Of onion?
So I'm not sure what other, I'm trying to, my recollection tells me that basically it was cotton.
Okay, mainly was cotton, but maybe there will be others. And you mentioned that besides the staff from the Trans-Pecos Cattle Association, you have inspectors from the Department of Labor,
right.
as well as the Mexican Consul.
Yes.
Which wasn't, you said he wasn't present all the time?
No, he came from El Paso.
He came from El Paso.
Yes.
How often would you say he?
I think he was there pretty often.
Okay.
Because, you know, we'd get to know them very well.
Oh, okay,
so.
Perfect. And he was able to be present at all offices? You know, asking the braceros and...
Yeah, and many asked to speak to him, you know.
Oh, yes,
directly.
Many did?
Yes,
okay.
As I said, either they had a complaint or they wanted him to do some connection with his family and their family in Mexico,
oh, okay.
or they just wanted to speak to him for whatever personal reasons they might have.
Okay.
Yeah, which he did. He was very good at...
Oh, so he was very good at listening. After you fill out the form, well, first the meal, and then you fill out the form for them,
uh-huh.
the number card, then the farmers will pick them up and take them to each, like, farm or workplace. And when they finish the contract, let's say it was from September to November or any given time,
mm-hmm.
did they have to go back to your offices, like, to sign a paper saying they finished the contract or...
You know, they might have. I don't remember.
Okay.
But they might have.
But you didn't...
I don't remember doing that.
Okay.
But we had other staff people who did that.
Who did that? Okay, perfect.
And you must know that, you know, some of them, you know, some had, there were accidents, some died, and some either got maybe run over by a car, or some fell off a truck.
Oh, some of the braceros.
Well, yeah, they had some accidents, not, you know, like anything else.
Yes.
Know? And we had a doctor on staff.
Okay.
I remember his name was Dr. Del Campo.
Yeah. So he was there permanently?
Yes, but anybody that became ill, we took him to the Pecos Valley Clinic.
Okay.
Dr. Schmidt was the doctor there.
Pecos Valley Clinic. So any farm they get injured or any place in Pecos,
yeah.
they will go to this clinic?
They go to the clinic or sometimes the doctor would see them. But basically, if anything happened to them,
and do you remember, you know, some accidents that might have happened?
Well, I remember a fellow falling off the truck.
The
know?
Ones that were supposed to take
yeah,
them to
they,
the...
Yeah, somehow or other, I don't know how it happened, that he fell off the truck and he was injured.
Okay.
And, but, you know, they sometimes cut themselves or they, you know, mm-hmm. something happened to them and...
Were there, besides the medical attention that association provided, were they insured? Did they have any kind of insurance?
I don't think so. I think that the And you know, this is just my recollection, okay? Mm-hmm. I cannot really tell you for sure, for mm-hmm. certain, that this is the way it happened. But I'm thinking that that was part of the government contract that we had, that was we would provide medical help for them if they so needed it.
And what was... No, go ahead.
No, I was saying, I don't think they were there long term. I don't know how long they were there, you know?
Yes.
But I don't think that... That I don't remember anybody required being in the hospital for a long length of time, at least while I was there.
Great. And you say also some inspectors from the Department of Labor mm-hmm. go to the association. What was their job?
Their job was to see that the farmers were complying with the requirements that had been set forth in the contract.
What were those requirements?
Well, then? Like I told you before, housing.
Okay.
Proper housing, at least. Proper according to what had been agreed to.
Okay.
You know.
Which mainly was like to have...
Well, a decent...
A decent...
Place to live.
Were the farmers required to provide them meals during the day or...
I don't think so. I think that they could get their own food. They could bring their own food. Because like I told you, I saw them at Safeway buying huge box... huge sacks of flour and beans and stuff like that. So I'm assuming that they cook their own food.
Their own food.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that during the weekends when they have their days off,
yeah.
it was very
like
common
Sunday,
to,
yeah.
to sell them in town.
In town. It was very common. Everybody knew that. In fact, a lot of the local people would do their shopping during the week because they knew, you know,
during
it'd be very crowded at Safeway or at JCPenney's or wherever it is they were buying. They bought Levi's. They bought, you know, they... They spend
really?
Their money. That you know, actually, they were very. They were a boom to the Pecos community.
Yeah,
because
they
send money home, but they also spend money. And they would, you know, buy things for their wives. You know, like tablecloths and things, that, dish towels. And
so they actually did spend their money.
Oh yeah, they
right
spent
there at Pecos.
Some money.
Okay, and. What about, you know, the entertainment centers, like restaurants and bars and
well,
movies?
We had a lot of them. Pecos was very small.
Was very small.
They had a few bars. They might have gone to the bars. Mm. So I couldn't tell you. I didn't frequent those, so I don't know. But I know that they were in town all the time, and I'm sure they were. Movies, we had movies. And you have to know, too, that Pecos was a little bit of very discriminatory.
Oh.
So I don't think they had access to go every place, you know, like
okay.
the theater. In fact, Mexican-Americans who lived there weren't even, before I got there, weren't even allowed to sit on the first floor of the theater.
Oh, not even the Mexican-Americans
lived there. Not even the Mexican-Americans that lived there.
You want to help? Okay, so you were saying that Pecos was a very discriminatory town back then.
Back then.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm sure there were places they weren't allowed to go. But it's not like it had a whole bunch of places you'd want to go to, you know. They didn't have a whole bunch of restaurants. They had one theater, and I think they had a Spanish-speaking theater. And I think they probably would have been allowed to go to that.
Okay. And what about the post office? Was it
the post office? Yeah, I mean anybody. It's a federal building, so everybody. And they went to the post office lots of times, you know.
Well, yeah, because they send the.
They send their mail. They send their money orders.
Their money orders. What about a church? Do you remember where they allowed?
Yes, we had Santa Rosa.
Santa
church,
Rosa.
Mm-hmm. Which was for most, you know, Mexican Americans.
Okay.
And the priests there were always very helpful. They opened the doors to them, you know.
Okay, so they were able to. And where did you live while working at the transportation?
Where did I live? I lived...
Was it close to your workplace?
Well, it's not a very big town. It's it took like about 10 minutes to get to work.
And did you drive? Or
yes, what? I drove.
And what were your normal hours?
I think they were like from 8:30 to 5.
And your weekly schedule, was it Monday through Friday?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Would you please describe a typical work day at the Transpex Canal?
I don't remember a typical work day. I wish I could be more helpful to you, but, you know.
No.
I just remember going to work there.
But you had to, like, first you get there and you did the same thing all day long?
We had different assignments, you know. I mean, if the braceros were there, of course, our job was to process them. But we had other work to do. For this moment, I can't remember what it was, but...
Mostly clerical, like,
yes.
Filing. Do you remember any particular incident while working there? You know, conversations with the braceros, what did they...
You know, they would ask us things like, they want to buy a dress for their wives.
Oh,
and
okay.
Could they buy it? And one thing that impressed me most is one time seeing a bracero walk downtown
mm-hmm.
with a sewing machine, one of those old pedal ones.
Oh, yes, yes.
Like made out of iron.
Yeah.
And he was carrying it on his back, you know. He was determined to get it home. You know,
oh, so sure he was going to take it back.
He bought it to take it home to his wife, you know, and you know, it. Obviously, you know, they were people who had families, and this was a good opportunity for them to come and make a little money,
yeah.
And it was certainly more than what they had at home, and it allowed them to better their lives a little bit. It was a good idea, the Bracero program, you know, and. Because the farmers benefit tremendously from having workers there,
yes.
You know, and workers who wanted to work,
mm-hmm.
You know, so they benefit tremendously, and the bracero benefit because he had work, and he got paid for it.
Do you remember, like, the minimum wage that they established in the contracts back then?
No, I don't.
But did they have, like, a minimum wage?
No, I think they had a set amount of money that was paid to them.
Oh, okay.
You know,
yeah.
Either per day, you know.
Okay.
And obviously they were paid either weekly or every other week or something because they were in town all the time.
Okay.
So they had money. And the city of Pecos,
yes.
also benefit from it because it helped with the economy. So you see, to me, it was an excellent program. I always thought that's the way they should do it. The USA is always looking for farm workers, and the people in the United States don't want to work in the farms, you know.
That's true. And so the people was, mostly when they got there, there were braceros and everything, were they, what was their attitude towards coming to work the United States?
Oh, they were happy. They were happy for the opportunity, you know, and they said, they often talked about their families and how that would help them, how they would send the money home.
And at the beginning, like the first time they were there, how they were dressed, like, you know?
They were just dressed like, I mean, they didn't have the best clothes. They were wearing whatever they had. That's why I told you, I saw them buying Levi's and shirts and
once
stuff.
Once they were there.
Once they were there, you know, and shoes, you know, good shoes that they could wear out in the field.
Oh. Were they allowed to go back to the association in case they have any, you know, while working there in Pecos, for any complaints or questions or doubts?
Yeah, because like I told you, they could ask to come in and talk to the
council. So they have to go to the association in order to do that.
Well, they would actually, I guess, tell the farmer, and the farmer would just let them come in, bring them in. You know, I don't remember of hearing that they were ever mistreated. I'm not saying that there weren't any mistreatments.
Yes.
I think the farmers there were just glad to have workers help them with their harvesting. But they might have been, I don't know.
Not that you know of from the Department of Labor, you know, the ones that were... Did you ever, you know, hear about the farm contractors not complying to the requirements?
Yes, well, they did, and there were some, I'm sure, that they didn't, and then they were told they couldn't have any more workers if they,
if they didn't. Right. But did they give them a chance to correct whichever problem?
Well, I presume that if it was something minor, that they could, you know, give them the opportunity. But I think the Department of Labor was very strict about, you know, this is a contract we have with Mexico and the United States, and we want it to work, and if you're not interested in doing the right thing, then, you know, it would have been a big loss for the farmer because there were no workers.
Exactly.
So most of them I know tried very hard to comply.
To comply.
And when they didn't, they were told what they had to do.
Okay. And what about the braceros? Were they allowed to come back like the next season? Did they?
I'm trying to remember if they were allowed to do that. I think they were, because I remember some of them, some of the farm workers saying, well, we'd like to have these guys back.
Oh, okay, so they were able to say, what about the brasser? They could say, you know what, I want to go back to this farm that I work.
Yeah, previously. They did do that. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what the process was, you know, when they applied at INS again.
Mm. Oh, okay.
But I'm telling you, I know someone who can tell you, answer all these questions for you.
And when you were there, do you remember any incident, either good or bad, you know, from people from Pecos saying about the braceros, about having all these people here working for them?
Well, the business people liked it because, you know, they it was good for them. But I think sometimes the people in Pecos, you know, would get frustrated because they were everywhere.
Okay.
You know, especially on the weekend.
Yes.
You know, but, you know, it's a farming community, so they recognized farmers as farm workers as farm workers, and they knew they were from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I even think some of them, when they finally were able to immigrate, wanted to go live in Pecos.
Okay, to stay there.
Yeah. Okay. And a lot of the people that lived in Pecos were from some part of Mexico.
Okay. Know?
They were immigrants themselves.
Themselves.
Yeah.
And what is your personal opinion about the Bracero program?
I think it's an excellent program. Like I was telling you before, mm-hmm. that it helps everyone involved. It makes for good relationships between Mexico and the United States. It makes for, it helps the farmer harvest his crops. It helps the bracero earn some capital so that he can take it home to his family, and it helps the economy of the town or the city, wherever this bracero program is taking place. I think it would be a very great program to have today. You know,
so you think it's a good idea to revive it?
Yeah, I think it is, and it's you know. From my experience of working with immigrants, I think that most immigrants only want to come to the United States because they can make a better living than they do at home. Not because they think the United States is the most wonderful place to live, but because that's the place to make a living.
Okay. So they can send money back
send
to their
it back
friends.
Home. So, you know, this would, I think, would stop some of the illegal immigration to a certain extent. Because it would allow people to come in and work on contracts. At the end of the term, they could go back home. And, you know, we're all better off. They take their money home. We got our work done.
After working for the Trans-Pecos Association, would you say it might be 57, 58 when you stopped working there? Did you have any contact later on with the braceros?
Well, it was really strange because that was actually the beginning of my work in dealing with immigration, with immigrants and refugees.
Immigrants.
When I left Pecos and I came back to work here,
Came back to El Paso?
Yes,
okay.
I came to work for the migrant. There was a migrant program that was funded by the government, and that was to get migrants out of the migrant way of living, in the sense that, you know, try to find them a job here so they wouldn't have to leave their home and go out and into other cities and pick apples or whatever, vegetables or whatever. So our job was to train to be able to provide some kind of training for these migrants. Yeah, and then from then I went to work in helping immigrants and refugees.
So you were with immigrants mostly all your life?
All my life.
Is there any comment or?
I represented immigrants in immigration court.
Immigration court?
Yes.
While working?
Before INS, yes.
So you work here for how long?
30 years.
30 years.
For that particular program.
For that particular program. And is there anything else you would like to add regarding the time you worked with the Bracero program that you got involved?
I hold that program in my mind as a good memory because the people that came from Mexico to work were very decent people, and I think they were happy to be here once. So.
I would like to thank you very much for the interview, for the opportunity of sharing your memories with us, and